Corey McCartney, our guest in the first segment, talking about his book, The Heisman Trophy. We go to Ottawa. We're north of the border in Canada, and that's where Steve Currier resides, hockey historian, member of the Society for International Hockey Research, and he's got a new book, a very interesting one. It's called The California Golden Seals, A Tale of White Skates, Red Ink, and one of the NHL's most outlandish teams. Steve, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
How's your weather up there north of the border?
It's not bad now. It's about just below 0 Celsius today, but it's covered in snow. We had a couple of snowstorms this week, but it's starting to get a little bit better. But the cold weather is going to be coming back in a day or two.
And we're 84 today down here, Steve. So enough about the weather. Why a book on the California Golden Seals?
Well, there's a lot of reasons why I went into this, into researching this team, and I think one of the reasons is because, I'm a Montreal Canadiens fan myself, but I've never really had an interest in writing about the Canadiens or even like the Boston Bruins with Toronto Maple Leafs, because there's already been so much written about them that I don't even know if I could contribute anything to the research that's been done. But the Seals was really a topic that was barely even touched. There's very, very few books that have anything about the Seals, except maybe a couple paragraphs or a few pages. You look at most hockey books, there's not a lot of photos, and this is a team that was in the NHL for 11 years, nine in Oakland and two in Cleveland, and there's not a lot of information or photos out there. So I think that was one of the reasons why I kind of got interested in this team, because there was so many places I could go with this research. And growing up as a kid, I ended up seeing just a few little excerpts or photos here and there about this team that whenever I started following hockey, it didn't exist anymore. And it just kind of got mushroomed from there, I think, where I just started collecting cards and a little bit of information here and there. And the moment that I think really pushed me towards doing more in-depth research was when I was a kid. I must have been about 12 or so, and I had written to the National Hockey League office in New York, and I sort of naively just asked them for information on all of the defunct franchises that came about from 67 till about 91 or so. And someone at the NHL office had just decided to photocopy an entire media guide from one of their last seasons, and they sent that to me, and that was, I think, the catalyst of the research, because I had in front of me, I had all of this information, I had all the team records, all the names of the players who'd ever played for them were all there, and it was it really opened a lot of doors for me. This is before the internet was around, so this information was really difficult to come by. And I've always said that if someone at the NHL office had sent me a media guide of, let's say, the Kansas City Scouts or the Atlanta Flames, I'd probably have written a book about those teams instead of the Seals.
Steve, you open the book with San Francisco Treat, 1917 to 1967. Why do you open it that way?
When I started doing research for the book, I wanted to cover the franchise's entire history. Most people know about the franchise history from 67 to 78. That's when they played in the NHL. But the team actually existed for 6 years before that as a minor league team in the Western Hockey League. Not the same Western Hockey League that exists now. That's a junior league. But the old Western Hockey League had teams in Los Angeles and Portland and Seattle, Denver, Edmonton, and lots of major Western cities. So I want to cover that era as well, because there is a connection between the minor league Seals and the NHL Seals. And I'd come across an article in the Hockey News talking about that very, very first hockey game, professional hockey game, that took place in the San Francisco Bay Area in 1917. The Montreal Canadiens were playing at the time, the Seattle Metropolitans, who had just won the Stanley Cup that year. And it was an exhibition series, just three games that they played at this new rink that they built in San Francisco called the Winter Garden. And apparently it was a huge success. It was the first time that people of the Bay Area had ever seen professional hockey. even just the fact that they had a skating rink in the Bay Area was very new. So I thought that was a very interesting place to start off the research, like where hockey really got its roots started in California and in the Bay Area. And so it was just something, this article in the Hockey News that mentioned this, I thought was very interesting. So I went back and found a few articles on this this exhibition series that was won by the Montreal Canadiens. And I just decided to put that at the beginning as a bit of a link between that and the Western Hockey League years.
Then we moved to the Oakland era, 1967-68.
And the reason I call that chapter the Oakland era is because when they decided to put a team in San Francisco, the plan was to put a team in San Francisco. That's what the NHL wanted. San Francisco is a bigger market. It has a very good reputation. It's where the NHL wanted to have a team. And it's originally where the Seals were located when they were a minor league team in the Western Hockey League. They had a team in San Francisco that played out of the Cow Palace. The only problem was the Cow Palace was a bit of an old and dingy rink. They had a lot of like cattle auctions and rodeos and things like that. So the place wasn't really meant for hockey. It had very poor sight lines. It smelled like cows most of the time. So the NHL really didn't want to have a team there. So around the same time, Oakland decided to build a brand new rink across the bay. And a beautiful state-of-the-art rink. And so the owners of the San Francisco Seals decided to buy that franchise that was going to enter the NHL and move them to Oakland, which turned out to be a huge mistake because San Francisco was bringing in, they were getting huge crowds for the Seals. Huge minor league crowds. They were averaging as much as 4,000, 6,000 a game. They won a few championships and they were even getting 10,000, 12,000 in the playoffs sometime. So San Francisco seemed like a good idea for a team. They just didn't have the rink for it. So they put in the team in Oakland. They just assumed that the San Francisco fans would just follow the team across the bridge to Oakland. But from what I understand, and I talked to a few people in the Seals Booster Club, and they were telling me that what happens in the Bay Area is that San Francisco and Oakland might be right next to each other, but it's the bridge is only maybe like, I don't know how many, maybe 10 miles apart, but it's like 1,000 miles, it seems anyway, because the fans in San Francisco just don't go to Oakland for anything, and vice versa. So the San Francisco fans never really took to the Seals while they were in Oakland, and as a result, attendance was the worst in the league. They averaged about maybe 4,500 that first year, which for a minor league team would have been fine, but for an NHL team, they lagged far behind every other expansion team that year.
Now, let's get into this topic, Steve. The Three Musketeers, 1968-69.
So the Seals in their first year, as I mentioned, their attendance was very poor. Another reason why their attendance was very poor is that they didn't win a lot of games. They only won 15 out of 74 games that year. And so at the end of the season, there were some wholesale changes that were made. They had a lot of good defensive players that first season. They had some good goaltending, but they had absolutely no scoring. And they averaged about maybe a little over two goals a game that season. So there wasn't a lot of excitement around the team. They weren't winning. They never made the playoffs, so things didn't go very well. The next season, their coach and general manager, Bert Olmsted, he decided to resign. And they brought in a brand new coach named Fred Glover. The new general manager was Frank Selke Jr., and the executive vice president was a man by the name of Bill Torrey, who many years later became the general manager of the New York Islanders, and he ended up helping the team win four Stanley Cups in the early 1980s, so he was a very, very good, astute hockey man. So these are the Three Musketeers. That's what Frank Selke, when I interviewed him, he called them the Three Musketeers, because there was a lot of problems that were going on behind the scenes. There was a lot of financial problems. The three of them got along very well, and they kind of kept each other sane, I guess, throughout the craziness that was about being a member of the California Seals. By the second year, they became the Oakland Seals, hoping to generate a bit more fan interest. So it just kind of shows the kind of instability they had in that team. Lots of changes behind the scenes, lots of player changes, and also even the franchise name changed several times before the franchise was even 5 years old.
Now, Steve, let's move along and get to Hungover, 1969
to 70. The reason I called that chapter Hungover was because the year before, the Steelers had actually done very well. They finished second in the West Division, and they had a team that had a lot of good scorers. They picked up they brought guys from the minors like Norm Ferguson, who scored 34 goals, and they had a young defenseman by the name of Carol Vadney, who was one of the West Division's best defensemen. He was very flashy; he could score goals. They also had a guy by the name of Ted Hampson, who ended up scoring about 75 points that year. So the Seals actually ended up making the playoffs that second year. By the third season, however, there was something that was, and no one could really explain it to me, there was just something about the team that just wasn't working out. It's like there was like this cloud hanging over the team that third year, where it seemed like they were hungover. They just weren't playing as well as they had been the year before, even though it was almost the exact same roster. There weren't a lot of changes that were made. But the 69-70 Seals, they made the playoffs, but they made it by the skin of their teeth. And the only reason they made it is because the Philadelphia Flyers, who finished fifth in the division that year, tied 22 games. And so the Seals ended up finishing ahead of them because they had more wins, even though they both had the same number of points. So the Seals, they got into the playoffs by the skin of their teeth, and they ended up getting bounced out by Pittsburgh in four games. So there was you could see the team was starting to kind of fall apart after what had been a very successful 68-69 season. The year after, you could see that there were cracks. Players were seemingly they were showing their age a little bit more. And the 68-69 season, when they were very successful, it seemed that everyone had a career year. And the year after, no one repeated that kind of success. So the team was starting to show cracks, and it just got worse and worse from there.
Steve Currier, hockey historian, talking about his book, The California Golden Seals. We've got another segment with Steve here on Inside the Game with Pat Williams. It's AM 660, The Answer in Orlando.